your drink in town with a football problem.
Hey, everybody. Welcome into the Piffles Podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Alex.
I'm Steve.
I'm Ferlin.
I'm Amy.
Hey, you're back.
Welcome back, Amy.
Yay.
Good to have you back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
We got a busy, busy show to get to, and this is going to be my favorite show that I think we might have ever done. Before we get started, follow us on Twitter. You can follow us at PifflesPod. You can follow me at RealAlexD.
You can follow me at SaffonSports.
Myself at Fernie635.
And I am at CFLHottieBall.
Make sure you like us on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. And we're on Instagram as well. Just search PifflesPod. And Piffles Podcast, as always, fueled by Coney Island Poutine Cafe, the best poutine in the prairies. Two locations in Regina, they deliver. Make sure you go on Saturday, March 18th, as $1 from every poutine sold will be donated to a muscular dystrophy charity. Great cause. I already know what I'm going to have for lunch and supper that night. Coney Island Poutine Cafe in Regina. Coming up on this week's show, the latest rider news, and we'll get to that right away. We're going to talk to Brody Lawson and Max Rosenberg of the CFL. We're going to talk about Mark's CFL week and what's coming up on that week, and just some other CFL stuff with them. We're going to talk to them in a little bit. Piffles player profile. We'll see what else happens. So let's get right down to it. Rider news. Riders made a couple signings. Signed defensive tackle Eddie Steele, Canadian player from Edmonton. Re-signed long snapper Jorgen Hughes. Re-signed punter Josh Bartel. Re-signed defensive back Jeff Hecht. Also signed Mitchell Baines, a Canadian receiver out of the University of Ottawa. He went undrafted last year. Good size on him, 6'2", 215. Could be one of our future stars. So I personally like that signing. But enough about that. Nobody.
I heard something about a quarterback.
Yeah, there's.
Do we have a quarterback now?
We might have a quarterback. As we're recording right now, guess who got off a plane in Regina?
Brett Favre?
Better. The next best Packer quarterback of all time.
Darian Durant.
He'll be back in a couple weeks for CFL week.
Aaron Rodgers?
Vince Young.
No.
The one and only Vince Young is in Regina. As we are recording, he just got off the plane. There's a press conference scheduled for Thursday where Vince Young will be announced as the newest member of the Saskatchewan Rough Riders.
I want to be in the room when he gets off that plane and realizes he's not in Texas. Gets off the plane and looks around and goes, where's the train to the actual airport?
I'm glad they opened the rider store at the new Mosaic Stadium this week, because like they're going to be sold out of jerseys.
This is absolutely incredible. We've all thought when he was put on the neg list, nothing's ever going to come of this, and it's just whatever. Sure enough, he's here. They wouldn't bring him in unless they're going to sign him, put him through a physical, and all that other stuff as well. This is absolutely incredible for a couple reasons. One, we got rid of a guy that's in Darian Durant that's the same age as Vince Young to bring in an older quarterback in Kevin Glenn and Vince Young. But also just from the entertainment standpoint, we were talking about this possibly happening, you know, a couple weeks ago on one of the shows, and we were thinking, you know what, just entertainment value. Like how would this, like the league exposure would be through the roof with the U.S. Networks carrying this as well. But this is just absolutely incredible.
Well, you said exposure. This is news right now on TMZ Sports, on ESPN. Everywhere down south is talking about the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Us four are in the entertainment business and on this show. And this is great. I can't wait to laugh about this and talk about it. It's going to be fun.
From what they're reporting for his contract numbers, I'm surprised he's coming.
Gary Lawless at TSN said about $100,000 as a base, up to what, $200,000 in incentives?
That's nothing.
With very little signing bonus.
That's nothing.
Yeah, but what's he making not playing football back home?
$100,000 exactly. American coaching, was it the U of T?
University of Texas.
Let's be real. He's not coming up here for a press conference if the Riders aren't planning on at least bringing him to training camp. This is not just some arm for the Florida minicamp. He is going to be up in Saskatoon. Vince Young, former Heisman Trophy winner. Recent cut of the Cleveland Browns.
I wouldn't say recent. It's
true. It's 2014. The guy hasn't thrown a professional pass in, what, 7 years? And I'm still excited.
In when his defense, he hasn't been hurt in that long then either.
There are no miles on his body.
There you go.
And when he came out of college 10 years ago, or when was it?
2006.
Yeah, when he came out of college in 2006, everybody, myself included, said, that guy would be the perfect CFL quarterback. then. Who knows now, but it's going to be fun.
The last time he threw a pass was in 2011 with the Philadelphia Eagles. That season, he started 3 games, played in 6 of the 9 games that he dressed for. He was 66 of 114 for 866 yards, 4 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. That's the last time we saw Vince Young play in a non-preseason game. That's 6 years ago.
I mentioned this on Twitter earlier. He's going to come up here and become the first person to ever get hit by both the Madden curse and the Kevin Glenn curse. Like, this is incredible. We're breaking history.
And I meant that when I said that was probably one of your best tweets ever. The one thing that people need to realize, like, the Riders are going to get mocked for this mercifully from their own fans, but also all 8 other CFL teams' fans. But the thing is, football is entertainment. It's a business. They don't, honestly, as much as they care what fans think, they don't care what the fans think as long as they spend money. Bottom line is money. This guy will bring in exposure. It could help with a potential TV deal if he makes, like in the States, if he actually makes the team and ends up being our quarterback. ESPN might pick up more games, ESPN2, whatever, any other, you know, stations in the US. This is more than just a guy coming up and playing in the CFL.
And that's a big word, if he makes the team. This is a CFL. There's no guarantees. He might not even make the team out of training camp. It's no risk to the Riders. They're not going to stop looking for the next quarterback. He could get cut, you know, first round of cuts out of, in training camp. He could come out of training camp as the starting quarterback and win a Grey Cup this year. Who knows? But it's very low risk for the Riders, in my opinion.
Yeah, from a Rider perspective, there's 2 scenarios. One, he lights it up, plays great, does good, and is our starting quarterback. I don't think a guy like Vince Young is going to ride the bench. I can't see him coming up here to be a bench warmer. So he's either going to prove himself in training camp and be on the roster and be a starting quarterback, or we cut him for minimal salary or minimal signing bonus. And at what real cost, other than, as you said, entertainment? Because this is great. This is something the Riders are being talked about again. Not that that's an uncommon thing, but here we are in the middle of March, and we're talking about Rider football.
And, you know, the signing doesn't really put the Riders behind in their search for the next quarterback, because before this signing, we're assuming that Kevin Glenn's our starter, and he's more than likely a 1-year stopgap until Chris Jones can actually go ahead and properly tamper and sign James Franklin out of Edmonton, assuming that he does hit free agency. Vince Young would be a stopgap for 1, possibly 2 years. He's not a long-term piece of the puzzle, but the Riders are still in the same spot where they have the, you know, an aging quarterback, but they still need to find the next one, and they're still going to keep trying that. So they're basically in the same spot that they were before, but just with a bigger name.
Technically, they're in a better spot because Vince Young is younger than Kevin Glenn. Our roster may get younger because of Vince Young.
And that's part of the entertainment value, because that's pretty funny as well.
They said we wanted a young quarterback. Well,
we got one.
Those of you who have been asking about a plan, here you go. Yeah. He was very specific when he said we wanted to go young.
And this signing, though, too, it also, to me, reeks of desperation from Chris Jones, only in the sense that, not that he's, we've kind of seen, he doesn't give a crap what the fans think. He doesn't care what other teams think of him. He just wants to win. He just wants to bring in guys, build his team, and win. And I think he's getting pressure, not from the fans, but I think it's more internal than that in the organization of the Riders itself, that they're like, you got to win. You're costing us in fines, in roster violations, this open tryout in Montreal that got canceled. We'll talk about that in just a minute here. But the organization wants him to win and win now. We have this pretty new stadium that we can't wait to get in. But if this is a crappy team again, what about 2018? If we have another 3-5-win season, is Chris Jones even back for his 3rd year of his contract? Probably not. So I think this is a desperation move from him to just come out and be like, I'm serious. Let's win now. This is a big name. This is the best available player. He's going to play for us. Not saying I necessarily agree with that, because at this point, I'd honestly rather go with Kevin Glenn or just a straight rookie and just go from there and develop some guys. But he wants to win and win now.
And you say desperation, and I agree wholeheartedly. It does reek of that. I mean, why else do you sign a 33-year-old guy who hasn't played professional football in longer than 3 years, but been on a professional roster in 3 years, Heisman Trophy or not? It's a risky move, and it does scream win now if he's the Vince Young he was in college, which, let's be real, the odds of that are not that high. But good on Chris Jones for at least taking a shot at a young quarterback.
It's Chris Jones. He's not going to sign a guy just to sign a guy. He's obviously seen something from him that thought, hey, maybe he can be a guy for a year or two.
Yeah, it all comes down to that idea of James Franklin or others next season. He's obviously got his mind set on somebody for the future. You know, and as podcast people, we can tamper all we want. But it's not a bad move for a stopgap for a year. But I agree, Kevin Glenn is probably the better option unless Vince Young lights it up.
Well, and we've seen how many American quarterbacks have come up here, and it takes them so long to get used to the CFL game because it's so different than the NFL. And this might be another example of that. We're probably going to find out in minicamp, but more than likely in training camp, if he actually has the physical skill set still, and also if he has the ability to pick up the game, read defenses still, and play at a CFL level, which is quarterback-wise different than the NFL level. His skill set is suited, it's tailor-made for the CFL game, being mobile and being able to, you know, he has a strong arm. But it's an odd signing more than anything, but it's an entertaining signing. And yeah, the press conference is going to be on Thursday, and it's going to be amazing. But before that I did breeze through the announcements of the other teams that are of the other players that signed. We should talk a little bit about those because those are important pieces to the puzzle here, because those signings really make sense. The Vince Young signing in a way doesn't really make sense, but these guys do. Eddie Steele, we have our starting Canadian defensive tackle, but that'll allow Lyndon Gaydosh and S.A. Marabare to rotate in behind Eddie Steele and keep the defensive tackles fresh, and that's a big signing. Jorgan Hughes, long snappers, you never really think about long snappers, and if you don't hear their name, that's a good thing. You don't think about them until you hear their name, and usually when you hear a long snapper's name, that's a bad thing. Honestly, we've never heard Jorgan Hughes' name, which is good. Also on special teams, Josh Bartel. We were kind of iffy on that signing when he signed last year, but he had a hell of a bounce back year. Was one of the better punters in the league. Good to see him back. Defensive back Jeff Hecht, just adding to the defensive back depth. He'll be a special teams guy and backup Briette. We'll keep political thoughts on him aside. Depth-wise, football-wise, it makes sense. So I'm not too upset about that signing. And then Mitchell Baines, the receiver out of the University of Ottawa. Project here, but I think that's a good signing.
To me, the one thing that is obvious out of all, like with the signings, if you look at it, take Vince Young out of the equation, they're all Canadian, or at least nationals. Josh Bartel being Australian, but gets in because of their weird rules. But they're all non-import national players, and that makes a huge difference. We've been talking about our depth, and you know, we're making plays to improve that. Eddie Steele is an absolute gem of a defensive tackle. It's clear Edmonton only wanted to go American at that spot. I'm glad with that signing. I jumped out of my seat at work when I saw that come up. It's a great pickup for us.
Before that Eddie Steele signing, we were all concerned about our defensive line because we had really nobody locked down in the middle, and Eddie Steele, thank God he had a bonus due on March 1st, because without that I don't think Edmonton cuts him, and that is a huge plus for us. The huge sigh of relief to get someone like him in the middle, and he's a Chris Jones guy. He had two of his best years with Chris Jones. Just an amazing signing, and nothing against Hoos and Josh Bartel and Mitchell Baines. Those are great signings as well. Jeff Hecht, I agree with Alex. He's not going to be our starter. As a starter last year, I wasn't completely sold on him, but as a backup, that's a great move. He's great on special teams. Just all around good signings, really.
And to me, the one player missing from this list, it's not an official signing or anything, it's just a player that we've been interested in, but one that all of us have been pretty high on as a kind of a 1B to Derek Dennis that must sign for the Canadians, is Jermichael Dean. We've heard nothing about him since free agency day, and all of a sudden today he was announced, it was announced that he had, what, three teams? It was us, Toronto, and Hamilton. And that's a guy that we absolutely need. Looking at our offensive line, there's a clear hole at right guard. And that comes down to kind of the next news with Chris Best retiring. We have a very large gap at right guard. There's a guy that we need.
Yeah, and Chris Best retiring leaves a huge gap, but guy looking out for his health. And can't really fault him for that. The guy was a Rider for, what, 10 years, 11 years? And wish him nothing but the best. We'll see him again in the Plaza of Honor because that's exactly where he's going to go. And he was huge in our 2013 Grey Cup run. And it kind of sucks to see him go because, selfishly, as a fan, I want the best players on the field. And if he was healthy, he would still be one of our better players. But that really leaves us with a huge, huge hole at O-line.
Yeah, I'm with you on wishing Chris Best the best, as it were. Great guy, great player for a decade, but smart decision to pack it in when you got your future to look forward to. He's got a wife and kids. It's the right decision for him. As a fan, it sucks, you know, but hopefully we can fill that spot, and I think Dean would be, you know, the obvious hole out there. And the fact that this potential interest in Dean is coming out after Best has announced his retirement doesn't surprise me.
And the other Rider news that we want to get to, Chris Jones in hot water yet again, this time for trying to host an open tryout in Montreal. Now, this would have violated a bylaw in the CFL bylaws about territorial exemptions and where you can actually work out players. Now, teams do this everywhere in the United States. They host open tryouts. You pay $100, bring your gear, let's put you through the ringers, let's see if you're worth giving an invitation to minicamp or worth a contract or something like that. But this one was going to be done in Montreal, and it was posted online. Kavis Reed complained about it to the CFL. CFL basically told Chris Jones, shut this down. So he did. One, I think this bylaw is a joke about if you're going to. And we all know Quebec is a major hotbed for Canadian players. There's a lot of great Canadian players out in Quebec. And if the Riders were even to grab one or two players out of there to bring to minicamp, I think it would have been worth it. But the whole territorial thing where you can't work a guy out in another city or another area where a team has territorial rights, like, you're not taking a player off their roster or any of the junior teams. Like, it's just an open tryout. That's what has it as a joke for me. But it also says to me that Chris Jones, A, doesn't know the rules, or B, he just doesn't give a crap. And he's like, screw it, I'm just going to do what I want.
I think they need to hire somebody specifically to follow Chris Jones around with a CFL rulebook. It's kind of getting ridiculous between this and the roster situation last year and just the nonstop little rule violations that we're seeing. It needs to stop, but I do agree with you completely that this particular bylaw, which it took fans forever to find, is ridiculous. Once they've reached that college age and gone undrafted, it shouldn't matter where they live anymore. I mean, what makes it okay that a guy can go, like, we could hold a tryout 10 kilometers across the border in Saskatchewan and be fine. You cross the border and suddenly it's a bad thing? I don't get it. I think it's ridiculous.
I have a feeling that Chris Jones knew it was a rule, but he had some lawyer, or he had the Riders legal team look through the bylaw book and thought he could work a way around it, and the league just shut him right down.
Well, and I don't see why it's such a big deal, because I mean, if Montreal wants to host an open tryout in Saskatoon, who cares? Let them. If the guys that are going to attend this tryout pay their money, fair game. You're not taking anybody off a neg list.
If the Alouettes come here and hold a tryout and find somebody that makes their team, that looks terrible on the Riders that they couldn't find somebody in their own backyard.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the Alouettes. That has everything to do with our team looking bad for not signing that player. I just don't understand why that's such a big deal and why that was even a story in the first place.
Now here's a question from a territorial standpoint. I actually don't know the answer to this, but I'm kind of curious. Maybe we can find a way to get the answer to this. There's obvious territorial issues with, say, BC, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, Alberta, Ontario, Quebec. But the rule is supposed to apparently say you can't hold tryouts outside of those areas. So what about potential players that are in the territories or in the Atlantic provinces? Can we not do tryouts there? Are we allowed to? What are the...
I did see a little bit about that in the bylaws. I can't remember it off the top of my head, but it is in there. I believe the territories can be any Western team. I'm not sure about the Atlantic provinces. I assume kind of the same kind of deal, only Eastern teams out there. But the territories are kind of strictly laid out where they are.
And to me, this is something the league needs to look at. We want to get the best Canadian players available in the CFL. It's great for our game. It's great for the fans, great for the teams. Who cares how they're found, as long as it's within, you know, stick to the undrafted players. And that should be it. But Chris Jones has to learn the rules.
Yeah, it's getting a little ridiculous with him. And he said for even for quarterbacks, but for all players, he's going to leave no stone unturned. And he's going to do that, which is fine. But you got to stay within the rules. And like, it's a 20-year-old bylaw that was a gentleman's agreement basically in the old CFL, and this league is run a lot different than it used to be. And I think it's something that could be abolished. And like, let's just get, what if these players are all-star type players? They can turn into be great players, but they never get a chance because someone outside of that one territory can't look at the player.
Well, the bylaw hasn't been updated for a while because it still has non-import instead of national, so I'm sure they need to get their lawyers involved to get that updated for at least that.
All I gotta say is I really hope for Montreal's sake that they now hold an open tryout, because it would look pretty bad on them if they force us to cut ours and then don't put one on themselves. And
I also think that's just Cavis Reed being Cavis Reed.
I wonder if he was hoping for consequences.
There was consequences, so I guess he got what he wants.
I'm kind of expecting the Riders to hold one locally now, because that'd be a huge cash grab. You know, imagine how many people are going to pay their $100 to try out for the Riders, even though the Riders will have no interest in anybody.
I wonder if Corey Sheets would show up.
You should go.
You got a quarterback and a top-scoring wide receiver in the room, so they should try out.
Hey, we've been closer to a championship than the Riders in the last couple of years.
Yeah, that's very true. Another one of those circus type things going on around the CFL, around Chris Jones, that we'll see what he does next, because you know something else is coming up on the radar. But moving on, let's get to some other CFL news here really quick. Former Rider head coach Corey Chamberlain, back in the CFL, announced as the defensive coordinator and assistant head coach in Toronto. And he spoke to the media the other day, and he's, you know what, I'm past the whole Rider situation, because he got paid out by him. He doesn't really care anymore. But also, I mean, he's ready to coach again. And here he is back in Toronto. What do you guys make of that?
He was never a bad defensive coach. And he was a fairly decent head coach when he got his start. But it seemed to me that he got paranoid once he kind of got his feet under him and was looking over his shoulder every 30 seconds. And as a defensive coach, I'd say it's a great move from Toronto's standpoint.
See, I'm not so sure about that. After Richie Hall left Saskatchewan, our defense kind of went sketchy on us, and I think that's 100% on the Richie Hall and Corey Chamberlain defense kind of balancing each other out, the conservativeness and the unorthodoxness of Hall and Chamberlain kind of working together. But once they kind of separated and Chamberlain was on his own, it was not good.
Yeah, but that comes back to the later part of his career, where he was looking over his shoulder again. I think it was just he had too many hats, and he wasn't as good as he was in his previous days in Calgary and Edmonton, or Calgary and Hamilton, where he did show promise as a defensive coordinator. I question the idea of putting the assistant head coach tag on him. I get the feeling that they know what they're doing.
Yeah, Pop and Trussman, they have a plan there. It'll take a little while for them to get everything figured out once they get the players that they want in Toronto, but as a defensive coordinator, Corey Chamberlain isn't a bad pick at all. I just don't think he has that much to work with in Toronto, so they might look worse than they truly are for at least the next year or so. But long term, I think it's a good, he's still a young coach, so he's still got a long ways to go. I'm sure he learned quite a bit from being a head coach, and can take that to being a coordinator again and better himself as a coach. So good for him for being back in the league.
Now, speaking of Toronto, we talked about Corey Chamberlain, and we mentioned Pop and Trestman, but that came out since our last show, and I think that's a really smart play on Toronto's part.
They got the best guys available. The only problem that I had with it was that, A, it took them so long, but B, that Michael Copeland said that Jim Pop was our first pick to begin with. Well, no, he clearly wasn't, because you didn't have a GM for 3 months. Going into free agency, you panicked, and got the guy who would actually come do the job. Might not be the best pick. Could be the best pick. Who knows? We'll see how he turns the team around. But that was just a scramble. Holy crap, we need to get somebody in here now. Getting Tressman was huge for them because Tressman is huge because that's a great, great head coach signing for them. But they just went too long without getting it done.
I get the feeling that Tressman was the guy they wanted, and Tressman was the coach they were going after. And it became clear that Tressman wasn't coming to Toronto, and Jim Popp was the kind of key to unlock that. And that's when they looked at Jim Popp as the GM option. I don't think he was their first choice from a GM standpoint, regardless of what Copeland says. I think it's more, we want Tressman. What's it going to take to get him? Jim Popp? We can work with that. And then they came together as they do.
Well, moving on, we're inching closer and closer to CFL week as it is now just over a week away. The schedule has been released, and for more details on what to expect for CFL week, we are joined by Brody Lawson and Max Rosenberg of the CFL. Thanks so much for joining us, guys.
Thanks for having us on.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Now, a lot of people are still wondering, what exactly is happening for CFL week? What events are planned?
I don't know how much time you guys have, but the main thing for fans in Regina and the stuff for you guys is going to be the Fan Fest and the Combine. So those are two huge events. The Fan Fest will be going all week long at Everest Place, and then the Combine, which all the tickets are already gone, but that's going to be another cool, really cool piece, is happening at the back end of the week, Friday night, Saturday, which we are also live streaming on CFL.ca. So if you guys can't attend, for people who might not be there, can watch it there. And then the Fan Fest is going all week long from the 21st to 26th. There's going to be player panels, interviews. We're doing CFL Week Live, similar to how we did Grey Cup Week Live. And then there's our partners are activating. We've got the passing contests, all those different passing challenges, the relay races, and the different skill stuff for everybody to do. And then there's some flag football stuff. You can learn how to be a ref. So if anybody's ever interested in being a ref, you can sign up there. Glenn Johnson is going to be doing a cool event where he basically puts a play up and you guys decide whether, like, you make the call. So I know from social that people always have their own opinions on what is a call and what isn't. So an opportunity for them to have some fun with that. And then early in the week, we have we have 58 players coming in to do a content shoot like we did last year, which we'll have tons of fun social stuff from. Brody, I know you've got you guys have been planning CFL Week Live too, so that should be super fun.
Yeah, I wanted to add, for fans that are excited to see players, the 58 players that are coming into town, they're really in town Tuesday and Wednesday. So for people that want to see players and are coming out to interact with them and get autographs, those are the 2 days you really need to be down at Everest Place. But our team's been working on CFL Week Live, which is basically a live show like we did for Grey Cup Week Live, but hired an amazing producer who used to work at MTV. He's worked at Sportsnet. He's got incredible experience. And so it's going to be really funny, and we're trying to get the guys out of their comfort zone. So I would encourage people, if they're around those days, that'll be the Tuesday to the Friday. We're doing that from 4 to 5 every day at Everest Place.
Okay, now before I get into the next question, I just want to say kudos on that CFL Live during free agency. That was a lot of fun.
Do you guys like that?
Oh, it was a blast. I hope they continue that every year.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Yeah, I think that's the idea. I mean, we had a great time. We had, you know, Brody and Davis crush the analysis. We were doing some live breaking stuff. So I think we had fun. And I should say that we forgot to add that on the Tuesday, we're going to be doing a tweet up with you guys, sort of like helping us get people there. You guys are, you know, some of the Regina social media royalty. So you guys will be part of that and getting the word out and having people. So that's also up on the site now. So it's free for everybody to come. We have tickets up there just so that we can know sort of how many people to expect, but that's going to be on the Tuesday night at the Fan Cave. So come and have a pint, and we'll hang out and chat about some social media stuff.
We totally cut you off. Sorry.
No problem. I just want to point out royalty. We're going to put that on the business card from now on, so I appreciate that. Thank you.
Get it on there.
Now, from a CFL Week perspective, what events can fans attend for free, and what events do they need tickets for to attend?
Yeah, so the Fan Fest is free all week long. The flag football events are these clinics, and that's a pretty cool opportunity to get some flag football coaching, and we're going to have a couple of CFL players there. I think Mike Riley, Alex Singleton, Andrew Harris will sort of be there doing that piece, and those are up on the site right now. I believe the co-ed one is close to or almost sold out. The CFL flag, the girls one, is still open. There's the BRFing, which is anybody who wants to learn to literally get their level one official certification can do that. That's happening, I think, on the Friday. That's also free. The tweet up is free. The CFL, the combine stuff was free. All those tickets are gone. The only real major paid event is the Football Hall of Famers VIP reception, mm-hmm. which is an event that we're doing that's going to take place at Mosaic. And that's a paid event where we're going to unveil the players and alumni class, or the VIPs, sorry, the Hall of Fame class for the season is going to be unveiled at that event.
And I know from a personal experience, I went to the 2013 Hall of Fame Gala when it was here for Grey Cup. If you have a chance to go, go. It is a blast.
Yeah, so that's the 22nd. It's from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Mosaic Stadium. It's going to be held in a pretty cool place there, so you kind of get to have the stadium in the background. So it should be kind of a different. It's a next level event that I think people who are going to be there will definitely remember.
Next question. A lot of us, ourselves and our listeners, are interested in this tweet up. Can you give us some details on that?
Yeah. So dish it, this is sort of a cool, like, I don't know who's ever been to a tweet up. It's just sort of a fun opportunity for people who are in. You may have tweeted with them, or, you know, we're kind of a great community on social. So it's an opportunity for anybody who's around to all meet up in the same spot. If you know them, to just hang out. If you've never connected with them before, to kind of meet those people in person. And then you guys will be there with us having a good time. Bree and I will be there chatting with everybody. And we had a great time at the one in Toronto. So come have a pint with us and have a good time. It's at the Fan Cave at the Fan Fest Zone.
Yeah, I think we really just wanted a place for people to be able to get together and gather, right? I mean, it's a unique opportunity, really, other than Grey Cup, to have all of these people, like Max said, that you're kind of chatting with all season long, and all of a sudden they're all in the same place. So I really would encourage people to come out, and it's very cool to meet people in person, and everyone's so friendly, and it's just a great experience. So I'm looking forward to meeting some people that we've really been interacting with on social recently, even since Grey Cup. So I think that'll be a really fun event.
Now, I've personally compared CFL week to Grey Cup week, but without the actual game itself, in terms of what's available for the fans, like the Fan Fest. Is that kind of the goal of the CFL here, and just to get people excited for football again and just bring the whole country together? Brody, we'll start with you.
Yeah, I think that yes and no, right? Like, I think the idea is we want to create that hype and that excitement in the off season, and not so much manufactured hype. Having these players in town, you'll see when they're there, it's kind of a surreal experience. Last year, actually, if you want to go and check out, and this is not really a plug, but it's kind of a plug, my Brody OT from last year, from the behind the scenes of the player shoot, it's like wild because you're walking down a hall and then you see like the Levi Mitchell, and then you turn the corner and then it's like Mike Riley, and then it's Simone Lawrence. Like, it's very overwhelming. And so the hype to have the players in town, it just has a whole other vibe. Whereas, you know, with two teams, you obviously have, you know, a lot of top players. This way, you've got everyone from across the league, so there's something for every fan, which I think is really neat. And then I think the thing that is also unique about this is that it really is going to be, I think, in a lot of ways, fan-focused. And while during Grey Cup week, you know, our office in particular is focused on, you know, putting the game day together and doing all sorts of different things, our primary focus for this week, other than sort of helping the media get through, you know, these media days, is really catering to the fans. So I think, Max, you can disagree with me, or if you've heard other, you know, other things in different meetings and whatnot, but my perspective is this is probably going to be, it will be different from Grey Cup in a lot of ways, but it will be similar in that it's going to be very, very fan-focused.
Yeah, I would definitely agree, and that was an A-plus seamless plug of your Brody OT from last year.
No, but it's true. You know the one I'm talking about.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think the idea is, you know, we did this content shoot for the first time last year, a super ambitious undertaking. We're like, we're coordinating, you know, flying in five guys from every team. And last year it was kind of top secret because the jerseys were being revealed, and so we couldn't really do anything with the players that were there because all the stuff they were wearing was the new Adidas stuff, and it was kind of secretive. And so this time we were like, okay, so we have this going, and we have Combine that's around the same time. Why don't we put them together, take it to, you know, one of our great markets and kind of blow it up a little bit more, do a Fan Fest all these players are there, so, you know, we know that people in Regina are going to want to get autographs from Mike Riley and Meepo Levi, and, like, we know these guys are great when they're with and engaging with fans, and they do it on social, and they do it in their own markets, but to have them all together in the same spot, we're sort of really excited about what this can bring and how it can kind of inject a cool little off-season pillar for us going forward. I mean, even the coaches will sort of all be there. We have, because they're there for the combine and the scouting, and so there'll be just tons of great stuff going on all week and trying to make as much fan access as possible, because, you know, we pride ourselves on being super available and then having our players be, you know, have that level of access with fans. So I think this is just another way for us to do that.
Now, you mentioned specifically the TSN photo shoot, and I know one of the questions a lot of people that we've talked to has been, is there going to be any access for fans or non-media to that actual portion of the event, or is that going to be closed to just media?
This is sort of like the time when the players actually have to do some work, I guess, over the week. Like, you know, we're taking them through, they're going to TSN and doing the, you know, the bumpers and the stuff that becomes the intros and the outros for their broadcast. We're doing some content gathering for CFL.ca. You know, we've done that Best in the League series, and this is where we shot it last year. We're going to be doing some stuff from some cool content gathering on social. So for that one, it's mostly media and sort of our content team. But what we're kind of doing is, while the players are doing that, that's when they're going to kind of be flowing through the FanFest area. So, you know, a couple guys are doing their photo shoots with TSN and going through the car wash portion, and then they're being kind of cycled through the FanFest. So we're kind of making the FanFest the sort of place where the players will have access. And then what I'm going to kind of be doing on, while, you know, running around doing 6,000 other things, is kind of bringing that behind the scenes look. So that's where we'll be, you know, doing a lot of coverage on Snapchat. We'll be doing some Instagram live from, you know, maybe the TSA, maybe you guys will sneak peek there. Because some of that stuff is, so that stuff we want to show you guys later in the year. So we don't want to bring all that to the front. So we'll be kind of doing some cool stuff on social there. And Brody will be, you know, doing some blogging and vlogging, all that kind of stuff from behind the scenes also.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This sounds great. We're looking forward, and we're really excited for CFL week. But kind of moving on from that, we also wanted to talk a little bit more CFL stuff with you guys besides just CFL week. So Amy has a question for you here.
I was just wondering, what is your guys' favorite road trip story? Like, where's your favorite place to go in the CFL family?
Well, Max, do you want to answer first?
Okay, well, so that seems like two different questions. Like, my favorite road trip story and, like, where I love to go. Like, my favorite road trip story involves everything we did around our East Division road trip that kicked off last year, because the amount of things that we did in 3 days, driving across Ontario in a giant truck where Brody did all the driving and I sat on my computer, and, like, the comedy of errors that kept happening along that trip are, like, some of my favorite. So those are, like, the sad, like, stories that I will remember fondly. But, I mean, we loved, like, we did our road trip with, or we did our flying trip, I guess it was called, with Red Tag, where we were in BC, Banjo Bowl. Yeah, this is a Red Tag fan trip where we went BC, Banjo Bowl, and then BMO. I'd never been to the Banjo Bowl, and for me that was like, I was blown away by that one. I don't know about you, Lawson.
Yeah, I would say that any time we can get out west is big for me. I still haven't been to Calgary or Edmonton, which is not okay. So that's something
you're not missing much
this season. No, I need to get out there. But I would say I agree with Max that two things. Coming to Max and I were both there for the farewell game at Mosaic. That will rank all time as one of the coolest professional things I've ever had a chance to do. And being at the Banjo Bowl as well. I mean, these are games that if you watch any of the Brody OTs or anything behind the scenes from that weekend, we talk very seriously about how we don't take any of these moments for granted. And those were two trips that felt like just surreal, to be frank. Like, they were just times when I was like, how is this our job? Like, anyway, so those two trips in particular were amazing, but as Max said, if you want to look at something hilarious, our kickoff road trip last year was over the top terrible, but amazing.
So, Brody, I don't know, or I guess Max too, whichever one, you can both answer.
We can jump in.
Yeah, we have It's called the Hottie Bowl.
What is called the Hottie Bowl?
It's our segment. So we basically name, think of it as a Pro Bowl, but for hot players. So you actually got to work out with some of the Hottie Bowl members.
Oh, wow.
How was that? Did they take it easy on you, or was it terrible? Did you want to die?
So, yes. Yes, and yes. So for those that aren't sure what we're talking about, I had a chance to work out with three different players for CP Has Heart, which was an initiative we were doing for all of February, trying to get people healthy. And I had received a ton of requests from people wanting for me to do off-season workouts with players, mostly because they wanted to see what guys were up to. So I said, well, like, I don't want to just show you. I want to show you what, like, the average person doing this looks like and how hard it is, because just, you know, they're professional athletes. Like, to watch them just do it, you're like, okay, I get it. So the first one was with Ricky Foley, and that was, like, nearly impossible. If you watch the video, he's having me jump, like, doing box jumps and agility work and cleans, and then at the end, we were running hills on the treadmill. And Max can attest to this. I couldn't walk in the office, I think, for 4 days. I was, like, hobbling. Like, I couldn't bend my knees because my quads were so messed up. So that was the first one. And the second one, I worked out with two Rough Riders, with Enoch Mwamba and Calvin Mwamba, who are great dudes, first and foremost, but put me through a really cool lower body workout, which was similar stuff. They helped me learn how to do box jumps, and we were doing goblet squats, and just watching, like, the sheer amount of weight and power these guys have. In the videos, you can see too, like, they were doing some agility work, and, like, the way that they move their feet and the sequences they do, it's, like, completely outrageous. So that was the second one. And then the third one was also Rough Rider Chad Owens, who's an amazing guy. We were working out with, like, 8 or 9 CFL players that work out at a gym here in Mississauga, and it was the most unique workout I've ever done. I'm sure you guys have seen at this point, there's all these shots of me, like, putting a towel in my mouth and lifting weights. And I honestly thought they were hazing me. Like, I thought it was a joke and they were going to be like, ha ha ha. But it wasn't. They actually do that to help strengthen their necks. We were doing a ton of stuff with sleds. And I would say overall, it was just, what it was overall for me was just an insight into how hard these guys work. And we all know it. We know that they're working out, but when you actually realize the recovery time needed and the amount of time it takes to do this, it's pretty exceptional. So I felt really lucky being able to do that, and I really enjoyed it. Max, I couldn't walk, right?
You could not. No, you were like pencil legged for a couple days.
That's a good way to put it. Pencil legged. No bending of the knees.
That, honestly, that sounds terrible.
It was great. Better, maybe better me than other people, though, right? That's sort of the attitude. You guys can all watch and laugh, and I'll just be put through the ringer.
Now, speaking of the online presence and videos, now, personally, myself, prior to starting up this podcast, I've been pretty critical about the riders, mostly, but also a little bit on the CFL for not having much of a social media presence. And this is going back a few years. But over the last couple of years, that's changed. The league's Twitter account is much more interactive. You have the podcast, The Waggle. Brody, you do all the videos. How important was this to the league to be more fan interactive on social media? And is there anything new in store for 2017?
I joined the league office. This will be my third season now.
We started on the same day.
Yeah, we started just around the same time. And when I was with the Argos previously, you know, fan engagement and that one-to-one stuff and developing really great content was sort of one of my passions there. So I attempted to bring that as best I could to the league office. And I think, you know, we have a really good social community. We have some great fans that love seeing all types of content, you know, football or otherwise, you know, our casual stuff like the Snap Wrap and what Brody's doing. And so we try and, you know, pump out as much as we possibly can. And I think we've seen a great response to that. And then, you know, part of what I'm doing is helping and working with the different teams and providing them, not necessarily guidance is not the right word, but helping them and trying to build their social teams and then so what sort of what they're doing. And recently, you know, working with the Riders specifically, they in the last season brought on a full-time social person, which was great for them. And he's awesome. I don't know, Matt, he's been hosting some of their videos. Matt, he does some great stuff. So working with him to, you know, build and getting him into the CFL environment when he started. And so it's a big process. And then in terms of what's coming this season, you know, I would love to keep as much of that a secret as possible because it's more fun when you get surprised by it. But, you know, we're going to be doing some great stuff at the content shoot. I've got a sort of a setup on our end that's specifically gathering content just for social, which is different than what we're getting for CFL.ca and different than what TSN's getting. So we understand that content lives and breathes differently where you put it. So it's different what we put on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, Snapchat, the website is all sort of lives and breathes differently. So we're really focused on diversifying and delivering as much as possible.
Yeah, I would say if there's one thing we can guarantee, it's that we will not be stagnant. We work with amazingly brilliant people at the league office who are so focused on really creative, good content to deliver to fans. And I would say that what you're seeing now is, and I really am not just saying this, we really are just getting started. You can see some of the things that our group likes to do. You know, we're experimenting a lot and leaning heavily on live content. I think that's something you guys can look to see more of. Anything where there is an opportunity to make an event or, you know, we're trying to capitalize and really make the most of major events that are happening throughout the league, player announcements, whatever it is. So there's lots of good things coming, and I would just encourage people, you know, to keep with us. And if you have ideas or if you're liking what we're doing, like, share our videos, give them a like. Like, it is important to get what we do in front of other fans, and that's really the goal, right?
Now, kind of going back to the free agency show and discussion that we had earlier, mm-hmm. From your guys' perspective, who do you think was the real winner of free agency? Can you see one team that kind of rose above the others, or was it kind of even across the board? I'd like to see your take on it.
You want to go first, Max?
No, Lott, you were the front line of our free agency. You go first.
Okay, I'll go first. I would say, so for me, and I don't know if this is a popular opinion, but I don't know that there was a clear winner. I think there were two really interesting teams from my perspective. The first was Ottawa. I thought what they did was really interesting because we knew they weren't going to be able to hang on to Jackson, Williams, and Ellingson. So we knew that that was just a non-starter, and they had quite a few free agents. But what they did was something really clever, which, you know, they were able to sign really young, talented guys that are decently proven, and I think that they did enough actually on both sides of the ball, actually, now that I'm thinking of it, to really ensure that they're going to be competitive. And I just felt like they were more aggressive than we had anticipated. I thought Marcel and that whole group, they were just really smart about how they went out and padded both their offense and their defense. The other storyline that I thought was really interesting was the Riders, because they also went out and got some really interesting players. I think that we were looking to them to pick up some, you know, proven talent. They obviously needed to add depth at a couple of positions, and they were able to do that. You know, you guys getting Derek Dennis, adding Marco Briette. You've got a young guy in Keenan LaFrance who is, you know, unproven, but could be a guy to help with your ratio in years to come. Signing Chad Owens the next day, not only a great player who was, you know, on track for a pretty incredible year before he got injured, but a really wonderful guy to have in the community, and Max can attest to that. So those, Ottawa and Saskatchewan were the two teams that really stood out to me at the end of the day. And I know that that's not maybe the sexiest, you know, teams. There are teams that got bigger name guys and sort of maybe surprised more, but those were the two storylines that I found most interesting.
I mean, I think building off what you said, definitely, I think Saskatchewan, I like the mix that they've got going. You know, it's been I think this is sort of the year we can kind of see the wheels are turning. I think that bringing in Owens to sort of work with Duron Carter is sort of a really interesting dynamic. You know, he's sort of, Owens is like the consummate professional, and I think him being there to sort of mentor that young group of receivers with Holly and Naaman and all those guys, I think that'll be really cool to kind of see how that flourishes. And then for me, sort of, there's the season before the free agency season, and I think for me, seeing what Winnipeg did before free agency started, bringing back all their guys, locking everybody up, making, I think they, you know, some sneaky additions before free agency with, you know, Okapalugo, who was with the, who's in the league before, and I kind of think, you know, seeing if they can repeat and even be better than what they did last year. So for me, that's sort of the preseason, the season before the season, I guess, of free agency, and that's always sort of the part that goes miss. You see a big splash on free agency day, who's moving and who's not, but, you know, a lot of times you see the teams that are consistent and are bringing back the same unit are able to build on that. So that's sort of one of my take. And we went through that entire Riders thing without mentioning a potential addition at quarterback that they may or may not.
Oh, yeah. And you took the words right out of my mouth, because right now, just arriving off a plane in Regina, Vince Young. Now, we talked about this earlier in our show, but really quick on this, couple-word answer, good idea?
Max, I mean, dive in, bud.
Yeah, so I don't think any of us know. I think it's a simple way, like, it could go, there's so many ways for it to go, hasn't played football in a very long time, but has a track record of doing some impressive things, so for me, it's let's see, makes training camp a lot more interesting. And I certainly can't be upset about the additional social media exposure that it will bring.
Yeah, I would say why not? Like, bring him to camp, see how it works. Chris Jones obviously knows what he's doing, so let's see what happens. I think this is like, let's stir the pot a bit. Why not?
Well, if there's anybody that stirs the pot, that's definitely Chris Jones.
Well, that's
and true. We love Chris. We spent a whole week hanging out at his home with his family, so You will not meet anybody else in the league that is more of a Chris Jones fan than two of us.
Yeah, yeah. We got to hang out with Chris last spring, actually, in his hometown of South Pittsburgh, Tennessee, and spent 2, maybe 3 days there hanging out with his family and a bunch of the Rider staff, and just had a blast. So we are big Chris Jones fans.
Now, Max, as a fellow bow tie wearing person here, I have to ask, why?
Why?
You know, I don't know. One day I just, like, I was actually in New York with my wife, and we were out, I don't even know where we were, like Bloomingdale's or something, and I just saw them, and I was like, this was before bow ties were like a really super cool thing, and I was like, I am buying these and I'm going to start wearing them. And then I got, that response was positive. People enjoyed it. I really liked wearing them, and so it kind of just spiraled out of control from there, I would say. And now I've got like 20 of them sitting in my closet. I got a Rider's bow tie. I don't even know.
I understand how that works. I went from 1 to about 15 in about 12 hours or so. It's a dangerous game.
Exactly.
That's so fun.
Yeah, now I kind of just, it's a thing. I enjoy doing it, so always looking to expand my collection.
Is that a plug?
No, it's not a plug. I have my Rider's bow tie. I'm going to bring it to CFL week.
If we ever make a Piffles Podcast line of clothing, we'll make sure a bow tie is included.
Smart. There's a market deficiency there, so I think you guys would be around.
You're hilarious.
So one last question. Seeing as we record this, it's International Women's Day, and sports is traditionally a man's domain, I got to ask Brody, what's been the hardest part about getting to where you are now in your career?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, first of all, I think I have to say that I have had nothing but incredible, and I really do mean incredible, support from the league office. We have an amazing group of intelligent, smart, fearless, just astonishing women who work at the CFL. So we hire a lot of women to, you know, high roles, and it's really a top-down effect. So first and foremost, that's really great. I would say, very generally speaking about getting into sports, the toughest thing about being a woman is being second-guessed and being judged off the hop. I think I have found in my experience that people are quite quick to make judgments about your knowledge, how well you understand a game, and I find, I am not currently, but I have found in the past that, you know, you really do need to be ready to prove yourself and lean in. And, you know, that is something that whether you work in sports or you work in business or you work anywhere, you know, you have to be prepared for. But I found really overall that I've had a really, I would say, easy, good experience in the CFL. That's not just at the league office. That's the incredible men in this league who play the game, that coach, that are part of the staff. We're really lucky to be surrounded by good people, and that is something that I don't think we speak about enough.
Well, Brody, Max, thank you so much for joining us here on the Piffles podcast. We really appreciate you taking time and talking CFL week and other CFL stuff.
Yeah, so we'll see you guys all at Mark CFL week and at the CFL Combine presented by Adidas. It's going to be great. Make sure that you guys stay in touch with us over the week, fans of the show. And if you're going to be at TweetUp, just make sure you're in touch with Max at CFL and me, and we'll be sure to reach out.
Yeah, can't wait for it. See you guys then.
Great. Thank you so much. Brody Lawson and Max Rosenberg of the CFL joining us here on the Piffles podcast, talking Mark CFL week and more CFL stuff. That was awesome. That was fun. So look forward to talking about CFL week coming up in about a week and a half here. But moving on.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Now, I said I would take this week's rant. I got absolutely nothing because the Riders are going to sign Vince Young. And I think that's just amazing. And the smiles on our faces when we talk about signing Vince Young and the whole entertainment aspect. I got nothing to complain about. This is great. CFL's in the limelight. CFL week's coming up pretty quick. And it's just a great time to be a football fan here in Canada.
CFL's being talked about North America wide right now. Have some fun. Smile a little.
Here's the rant. Screw you guys that think this is a bad idea. This is awesome. We got Vince Young. Who do you got?
And you know who else we got?
I really want to know. Tell me who are you.
So the player I'm going to talk about on this episode's Piffles Player Profile is a brand new signing and one that I think is going to make a huge impact on the team this season. Most Rider fans were worried about our defensive line going into the season, but the signing of Eddie Steele led to a collective sigh of relief. Before turning pro, Eddie played high school football for the Kelvin Clippers of the Winnipeg High School Football League. In university, Eddie stuck close to home, playing for the U of M Bisons, winning the Vanier Cup in 2007. In 2010, he was drafted in the third round, 22nd overall, by the Hamilton Tiger Cats, where he spent the first 2 years of his career before heading to Edmonton, where he played 4 years, two of them under current Riders head coach Chris Jones, and won the 2015 Grey Cup. The Eskimos released him last week as he was due a bonus on March 1st, and I think I speak for everyone when I say that their loss is our obvious gain. At 6'2" and 280 pounds, the 28-year-old Winnipeg native is exactly what the Riders needed in the middle of the defensive line.
And we talked about Eddie Steele earlier. That's a great signing for the Riders, and he's going to make less than he would have in Edmonton. And great move.
As resident father of the show, I would be remiss if I didn't make the very obvious dad joke and say this is a steal of a deal.
And Rob Vanstone of the Leader Post also tweeted out that, is it too early to call the Riders defense the steel curtain?
Damn, I missed on that one.
Yeah, that was so, I mean, we're going to talk dad jokes.
He's been a dad for longer.
We got to get Rob Vanstone on there. He's the king of tough dad jokes. But it's a great signing. And he seems legitimately happy to be here. But it's just, there's nothing wrong with that signing. So, look forward to seeing him on the field in the proper shade of green with the right color trim. And I think it'll be a great piece of this team. Well, that's going to do it for this week on the Piffles podcast. Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate that. Our next show, busy, because CFL week will be upon us. We're going to have, hopefully, some live stuff from Mark CFL week. We're going to have interviews. We're going to have that tweet up, which is going to be a lot of fun. And we're just going to see who in the CFL is around, and we'll talk to them. I think that'll be great. So we'll bring you stuff from CFL week for the people that can't make it to Regina. We'll definitely have that covered for you. We're going to talk the latest Rider news. We'll have a rant of the week and another player profile for you. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. That's where you're going to find us the most, at PifflesPod. You can follow me at RealAlexD.
Follow me at Safamud.
Myself at Fernie635.
And I am at CFL Hottieball.
Make sure you like us on Facebook, facebook.com/PifflesPodcast. And like us on Instagram, just search Piffles Pod. This has been the Piffles Podcast, brought to you by the best poutine in the prairies, Coney Island Poutine Cafe in Regina. Don't forget, Saturday, March 18th, $1 from every poutine sold will go to charity for muscular dystrophy. So go down there, order a billion poutines, clear them out of stock.
One billion poutines.
And then go to the gym after, because that's a lot of poutine. But make sure you go there. It's for charity. Can't go wrong there. Thanks for listening.